Good afternoon. I'm Jamila Erickson here with today's midday interview. Philip L. Clay, the first African-American chancellor of the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, also a 1964 graduate of Williston High School, a Wilmington native, Dr. Clay is a nationally recognized authority on United States urban housing policy and community-based organizational development. He's been the principal investigator in several studies examining affordable housing, housing preservation, urban gentrification. He's also vice president of the board of the Community Builders, one of the country's largest nonprofit producers of affordable housing. However, Dr. Clay is in town to be the special guest speaker tonight for the celebration of Martin Luther King Jr. It's UNCW's annual celebration. And at 7 o'clock tonight at Keenan Auditorium, Dr. Clay will talk about a very different topic. So first of all, Dr. Clay, thank you so much for being our guest today.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
You are going to be talking tonight about a wonderful piece of music. Just give us, first of all, the title of that and the composers.
The title of the song is Lift Every Voice and Sing. It was written by James Weldon Johnson in 1901 when he was principal of the Stanton School in Jacksonville, Florida.
We're going to get into the history of it some more in just a moment, but what got you so interested in this particular piece of music? Do you remember when you first heard it and how you felt?
I don't recall exactly when I first heard it, but it was a featured part of assembly programs at Williston High School when I was a student. So we all learned it. We learned that it was the, as it was then called, the Negro National Anthem. And it was sung with a great deal of special feeling, usually at the end of the assembly, an assembly that would be opened by the Star-Spangled Banner. James Weldon Johnson wrote the song when he was principal of a school in Jacksonville, Florida. It was, I believe, the February celebration of Abraham Lincoln's birthday, something that's probably not celebrated in North Carolina. But it was celebrated even at Williston when I was young. And he wanted to convey to young people, the grandchildren of slaves, what slavery was like, to emphasize to them that the emancipation was a victory, that it was a victory that came at the end of a very difficult period. He wanted to convey both the celebration, which is captured in the first verse, the nature of the journey captured in the second verse, and then in the third verse, he wanted to, essentially a prayer that these young people stay on the track, that they not be distracted or lose faith. And that became the kind of song which has had great power. I don't know whether it's sung in schools today, but it exists in many of the hymn books, certainly the ones I've seen, as a kind of anthem song. An anthem song is about celebration. It's about commemoration, and it's about encouragement and hope.
It was written in, you said, 1901
as a poem.
All right.
And then set to music by Johnson's brother, Rosamond.
And this particular version that we'll hear today is arranged by the great African-American composer William Grant Still. So we'll have a combination of James Weldon Johnson, Rosamond Johnson, and William Grant Still's expertise. Now, I would love for you to read the words to this, and I have it right here for you, and we can talk about those three different parts of it and how they address those different aspects.
You want me to read the whole?
Yes. If you would, because it's just so gorgeous, and people may not understand all the words when I play the music.
Lift every voice and sing till earth and heaven ring. Ring with the harmonies of liberty. Let our rejoicing rise high as the listening skies, let it resound as the rolling sea. Sing a song full of the faith that the dark past has taught us. Sing a song full of the hope that the present has brought us. Facing the rising sun of our new day begun, let us march on till victory is won. God of our weary years, God of our silent tears, Thou who has brought us thus far on the way. Thou who hast by thy might led us into the light, keep us forever in the path, we pray. Lest our feet stray from the place, our guard, where we met thee. Lest our hearts, drunk with the wine of the world, we forget thee. Shadowed beneath thy hand, may we forever stand, true to our God, true to our native land.
If you're just joining us, you just heard the voice of Dr. Philip L. Clay. He is a guest speaker tonight for UNCW's MLK Celebration. You can hear him speak tonight at 7 o'clock in Keenan Auditorium. It is a free event, open to the public, but advance tickets are required. You can stop by the Keenan box office sometime today and pick up your ticket. Just hearing you speak those words, it made me think about the important role that music played in the life of slaves when they were so deep in the struggle, and sometimes the music would help them lift their spirits.
Music was very important, and you remember that at the turn of the century, before public education was widely available, most people, and certainly most slaves and former slaves, were not literate. So they could not write history, and they could not read history someone else wrote. So it was very wise of Johnson and others to convey the messages they wanted to convey through music. And the music in this case had very vivid imagery that certainly young people could understand, and that would be their bridge to the earlier generation.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned that it was sung every day at Williston when you were going.
Well, every assembly.
Every assembly. Right. And that it was also featured on President Lincoln's birthday. You know, it's so funny. George Washington's birthday and Abraham Lincoln's birthday are now combined into this sort of, I think, amorphous, meaningless President's Day.
Yes.
When I was growing up, we had separate holidays for that. And I feel like Lincoln deserves his own holiday. I wish we could still do that.
Politics. Involves a lot of compromise.
Yes, I'm sure that you're right. Now, you sang this in school. When did you decide to actually do some research into this and to really get immersed in the story behind the writing of this piece of music?
I don't really recall, but one instance I do recall about 10 years ago. I was sitting at a dinner with Janetta Cole, who was president of Spelman College and Bennett College. And Janetta Cole was a graduate of the Stanton School in Jacksonville, Florida. And somehow we got into that discussion, and I went home and Googled and Googled and Googled to generate the story
that
I will speak to tonight.
All right. Did you learn some surprising things along the way, some things you didn't expect? I don't want to steal all your thunder from tonight, but...
I think the main thing I learned and the writing of the poem and its development as an anthem, really point to intention. The Stanton School was a great school. Williston was a great school because in the weeks and months after emancipation, community residents and missionaries got together and addressed the question of education for the former slaves. And there was a really hard debate about whether ex-slaves should be trained do the jobs that they were doing, or whether they should be educated. And the model of education was New England education.
Yes.
And the missionaries and the black residents and community leaders at the time came out in different positions on that, as did white industrialists and politicians. And the good news is that at Williston, education won. So it was a school that from the beginning had a strong educational component, and many of the young people who attended the school went on to college. And happily, Williston wasn't alone, and lots of cities in the South, these outstanding schools emerged and would last for a long time. Williston lasted 100 years. Mm. Some of the others are still in place. But I want to emphasize it was the intention to create an educational opportunity in a situation and a community where that had not been publicly accepted and wasn't publicly accepted until well into the 1930s.
That is a very powerful intention. Absolutely. Yes. You've been listening to Dr. Philip L. Clay. Dr. Clay will be a guest speaker tonight at UNCW's Martin Luther King Jr. Celebration. That is at 7 o'clock tonight, not 8, but 7 o'clock tonight in Keenan Auditorium. He will be talking about James Weldon Johnson and Rosamond Johnson's wonderful anthem, Lift Every Voice and Sing. And he will tell you more about that tonight. The event is free, but advance tickets are required through the Keenan box office. Will there be a performance of it tonight as well?
Yes.
Good, good. Some university singers, I'm guessing.
I've been told it's a wonderful group, and I'm looking forward to it.
Good. Dr. Clay, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, and I appreciate the opportunity.
Absolutely.